All right, Barker, 9-5. Your Blue Jays taking it on the chin against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Today it is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker, 416-413-3959. Leave us a voice note with your questions, comments, observations. 590-590 is the text line. Alejandro Kirk, the talking point offensively today. Absolutely. But Kevin, the focal point of this game has got to be, it has got to be Kevin Gausman, a 7.65 ERA in his last four starts, 12 walks in his four starts this month. You've talked often about the importance of north-south with Kevin Gausman. There was a lot of east-west movement today. That's no bueno, is it?
Yeah, look, I think he knew that coming out of the pen, right? I just think where Kirky was setting up, it's rare that we see Kirky set up away to both hitters, right? Mm-hmm. Away to lefties, away to righties.
Away to righties, yeah.
You could just tell it seemed like in the pen, he had noticed that just for whatever reason, the finish on the split finger, you know, wasn't there, and it was running. It was running too much. If it runs, you want it to run off the plate and not in the middle of the plate. And, you know, his fastball occasionally will have natural run just because he gets on the side of the baseball. When you get on the side of the baseball, you don't get good finish. It'll have that little late run to it, right? But most of the time, because the velocity and the location's good, he don't get hurt with it a ton. Just so happens today, you know, when you've won the first two games against a really good offensive team like the Diamondbacks, you got to be real fine with your stuff. Your misses have to be on point. And he was facing a bunch of lefties, right? Those four lefties right out the gate, like just not having it coming out of the pen, the four lefties, and now all of a sudden you're, you know, falling behind in certain counts and you have to be on point. And you could tell just finish and location of the split finger just wasn't there, you know. And then Suarez shows up and, you know, Suarez is doing Suarez things early in the game and you fall behind. It's very hard for your lineup to play catch up.
Does it tell us anything, Kevin, that Eugenio Suarez was 3-for-16 lifetime against Kevin Gausman? Is that a further indication of just, and he got three hits off him today. I mean, he got as many hits off him in three at-bats today as he'd had in 19 at-bats previously in his career. Do you read anything to when a guy who hasn't had a lot of success against a pitcher has the type of day that Suarez does? Is that something, like, do you use that as a reference point almost if you're Kevin Gausman, a guy that I owned really had my number today?
Yeah, he's a run producer. I mean, occasionally, you know, he's going to get you. I mean, the homer that he hit was a decent pitch. They wanted to go up with it, and, you know, he left it a little middle up. You leave it middle up to a dude who knows how to run produce and can hit homers to the right center field gap, you know, which is what run producers do. They use the big part of the field. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, again, Kevin's got like the seventh most innings the last 5 years in baseball. You know, I said this about three starts ago with him. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. I mean, the dude's got two pitches, right? I mean, if he's not locating all the time and that thing's not going 12-6 a lot of the times, sometimes against good teams, especially if they're left-handed, he's going to have some issues. And just the velocity was a little moody. You know, the location and the run on the four-seamer, on the split finger, you know, was a little bit too much for him just to locate it and have it looking the same, right? He wants that deception of, can I tell the difference? And I have to trust the velocity when the velocity's not there consistently. It sort of looked like it looks today. I mean, is this a surprise? I don't think so. Not for me. Just how much he's pitched in the two-pitch thing. Sometimes, you know, you just sort of wad it up, throw it in the garbage. You know, it's June. You know, you want him to be healthy. He's been healthy enough to where I would think from start to start, you know, he'll get the Guardians the next start. I think he'll be a little bit better just with command. They'll make adjustments that they need to make for him to be better. It won't run as much. In his next start, he'll have a better chance to having success and giving the lineup a chance. Guys like Kirky to go out there and do things.
416-413-3959. That is the call line for us. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. Hello to our friends on the TV side on Sportsnet. 590-590 is the text line. The Arizona Diamondbacks beating the Blue Jays 9-5. The Jays taking 2 of 3 games in the series, and they will welcome the Chicago White Sox to the Rogers Center. Was
Sorry.
That you?
That was me. Sorry.
What the hell is that about?
Well, they're poop.
The Chicago White Sox at the Rogers
Center.
Stomp
on them. Sorry.
It's hard to sweep anybody.
Unless you're facing a double-A team.
All right.
Well, I mean, facts are facts.
All right. Speaking of facts, let's hear the facts that the manager, John Schneider, is going to drop on us.
Yeah, coming off, you know, a winning road trip in a weird way after three straight. Love the way we battled back, you know, the first two, and today just kind of wasn't our day. even though, you know, you feel like you're never out of it with our offense, you know, and they came back there in the seventh and eighth. And, you know, I think overall it's a really good hitting team. And I thought that we played fairly well, you know what I mean? I think taking today out of it, I think we played actually really well at times and swung the bats well.
With Gause, going back into late last month, I think it was like the Padres and the Rangers starts were really good for him. Anything different you're seeing lately going into this one?
I think, I mean, like looking at it, his stuff is good. His stuff is the same. Kind of weird conditions today for a different type of pitcher on each side. I think it's just kind of getting into better counts with Kev. I think when he's really good, he's getting strike one, and he's getting to 1-2 as opposed to 2-1. You know, Suarez hurt us today, first couple ABs, but I think that's kind of the difference with Kev. When he's really good, he's on the attack, he's getting ahead of you, and then he's kind of dominating those 1-1 counts, and that kind of hasn't been the case.
Just sort of further to that, in like the ERA's over 6 for June, but he got nickel and nine by the A's, and it was one pitch to Schwarber, and this today's felt a little bit different than the other ones in that, you know, those were okay with poor results. This seemed just to not be that okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you're looking at stuff, you know, I think the stuff was good. It just comes down to locating it, you know. It's two-run homer, two-run double, two-run homer, you know what I mean? So that it's a couple bad pitches that were kind of left in the middle of the zone. I think one was a slider to Suarez on the double. And, you know, fastballs on the other two homers that are, you know, that's going to happen, you know. But I think not getting into the counts he needs to get to is kind of the key. So, again, when we're sitting there evaluating it, myself, Pete, and kind of in real time, you kind of say, okay, what's the stuff doing? And then from there, how are you executing it? And how are you getting ahead or behind in count? So, like a lot of people, when Kev's ahead, Kev's elite when he's ahead in counts. And I think just not getting there has been tough for him.
And just – what happened on that sac fly that wasn't, where the umps had to talk about it for 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think that initially they ruled it no catch, so we were going to obviously challenge the catch. And then they got together and said it was a catch, and then you're just looking to make sure everyone tagged up and did the right thing, which they did. So that was kind of that. It was a weird one. I had to make sure that they were saying it was no catch so we could challenge that before we even looked at the runners. But got it right ultimately.
John, as you have gotten forced by injuries to go deeper and deeper into your outfield depth chart, so at this point, do you have a reasonable sense of how the various outfielders that are in your mix might sort of fit in longer term over the course of the season once you start getting guys back?
A little bit of clarity, I think. You know, I think that you know, there's definitely some competition for some playing time, probably between a couple guys or three guys for basically one spot. You know, I think that you look and you have, you know, if you want to count Barger as an outfielder right now, you count him, you count Georgie, and, you know, excited to get Nate back, I think. I think Class A's done some good things, and you kind of look at, you know, Allen and Will are similar, you know, in terms of kind of what the player profile is, maybe a little bit more damage from Will. So it's, you know, getting a little clearer for sure. It's not including Varsh and Tony, obviously, too. So there's definitely some guys that are auditioning is not the right word, you know what I mean? But I think competitively playing for some playing time.
You mentioned Class A there. He seems to be a guy who has sort of moments for you guys. There's had a few of them along the way. You see the kind of tools. His skill set is maybe a little bit different than everybody else's. How does he fit into that combination there?
Yeah, it's an interesting skill set, obviously. With the, you know, he's got power. It's power, some chase, obviously elite speed. Can make up for some tough balls in the outfield with his speed. He can play left and center. He's a little bit different, I think, because of the speed component, you know. So that coupled with he's a little bit younger, there's still some things that we talk about every day with him in terms of game situations and things like that, and, you know, when to take chances, when to not. But he's probably a little bit different because of his age and probably the high ceiling that he does have.
And with Allen, what's the situation? Is that a day-to-day thing or anything more?
Yeah, day-to-day. His knee was kind of bothered him a little bit more as he went through BP and some pregame stuff, so wanted to check him out a little bit more. He was available kind of in an emergency, but didn't feel comfortable going to start the game.
That was Jay's manager, John Schneider. Alan, referring to Alan Roden, was originally in the lineup and was scratched. Will Robertson took his spot. Alan Roden scratched with the knee discomfort. Could have been in that slide last night at home plate. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, the Jays 9-5 losers to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Most of the conversation about Kevin Gausman there. You know, we had talked about the roof being open at the Dome.
Yeah.
And it was windy today. I mean, it was windy. We were looking outside. And the first thing I thought of when I saw the Dome open, I thought, I mean, we've seen Kevin struggle with it before. We've seen Kevin struggle with windy conditions before. And I don't think that's not making an excuse. That is John suggesting what might have been a factor.
I think when you've had the four games in a row that Kevin's had, I think you start looking for things and looking for reasons and how you can fix it going into his next start. I mean, John had mentioned pitching ahead, and I just want to throw out this stat. When Kevin is ahead in the count, batters are hitting 195. When he's behind in the count, 293. It's a giant deal, yeah. Right? It's the two-pitch thing, right? If I'm a hitter, I got a 50-50 chance. If I'm behind in the count, I've eliminated something down, which is a split finger. It's going to be better chance of me not swinging its head and laying off of it.
It's a lot like what the Minnesota Twins do when they face it. It's the same approach.
That's why he's throwing fastballs down more, right? I mean, he's trying to get you to sort of respect the bottom part of the zone now, getting more called strikes down there, get you a little bit more in swing mode. Look, I just think, you know, he's an older guy who's thrown a ton. And occasionally, because you got two pitches. Now, John mentioned the wind and, you know, the pitching behind and those kind of things. And that slider, for me, looked more like a curveball than it did a slider.
Yeah.
It's rare that you see spin going 12-6 on the breaking ball than have the slider move, which is about 1-7, that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe it had something to do with the way his pin looked. Maybe it had something to do with the way the wind was blowing. Again, I don't know. It's just it is what it is, right? I mean, occasionally you're just going to go out there not having your best stuff.
And you've pointed this out. It's no surprise. If you look at the top 10 pitchers in innings pitched the last 7 years, the last 5 years.
Last five years. Seventh in baseball in innings pitched.
Yeah, and Berríos and Bassett are right there as well.
Yeah. All three guys.
All three guys. And you know, the good news is they're durable. The bad news is they're so durable that they've pitched a lot and that they've been seen a lot. That's why. I mean, it's one of the issues with this. I think we have to guard against it with Gausman. You made the point. We know from Kevin Gossman's history that he'll figure it out. He'll figure something out. You know, his ERA isn't going to be over four. I think it's over four. It's not going to be over four at the end of the year. He'll figure something out. But yeah, I think there is that, you know, that concern at some point. At some point, you got nothing. You don't know the bullets left at some point, right?
If I'm the front office and I'm watching my rotation and I got to ask myself if I got to muscle up against the other team's number one in the playoffs, who's my number one? Do you have an answer? I mean, I don't know if they do. I think where they're at, right?
I mean, I think it's.
Well, I mean, do you?
To me, it's Berríos. It could change, to me, it's Berríos.
I mean, again, it might be. I mean, it's going to be determined on matchups and, you know, who's the hottest in September and that kind of thing. But maybe they don't have one. I mean, I think that's the point I'm trying to get at. And John mentioned about the lineup where they're basically never out of it. When's the last time you ever heard John say that?
No, maybe never. That is
maybe
true.
Never.
Let's go. We got a call from Russ in New Jersey. I want to play this call because it ties into something we want to talk about.
I know it was a tough one today, but you got to give them credit. They came home after getting swept by the Phillies. They did what they were supposed to do. They won two out of three. You know, Alejandro Kirk's two homers today. No one was when the game was, you thought was over, but you never know today with, you know, an 8-0 lead blown by the Orioles last night. You never know when it's over, but give Kirk credit. You know, he had, you know, in the last five, six games, he hasn't really hit the ball well, and you know, you remember from 22 that he struggled in the second half, and he gets two homers today. So, you know, the series was a good series. That's what you got to do. The job is to win series. It's tough to sweep. You're coming against the White Sox. With that said, I hope they can sweep the White Sox, but you got to win two out of three. And things are looking good. So I know it wasn't the greatest game today. Losing 9-1 and, you know, Gausman wasn't great, but that's a good offensive team there. They hit the ball hard. Their stars beating out their bottom of the lineup. You know, the top of the lineup really hit you. So that does happen. That's why we play the games. And hopefully we come out against the White Sox and You know, win at least two, and we should win all three.
Russ in New Jersey, comments about Alejandro Kirk. You thought yesterday when we were talking, you thought you saw swing getting a little longer again.
Yeah.
A couple of home runs today, a single. You pointed this out. Going into the game, his average against the fastball was over 50 points higher this year than it was last year.
Yeah, he's slugging higher off the fastball.
He's slugging higher off the fastball.
Well, it's a couple of things, right? I mean, you know, Joe was talking about the stride foot. That's a big part of his sort of game and timing part last year, was just consistently the front foot wasn't getting down on time, which didn't allow him to get to velocity. This year it's better. Like, I mean, the foot is getting down a little bit better. The rotation with the lower half is much better. You're seeing him getting off his backside. I remember last year, right? I mean, his back foot was almost planted on the ground. That sort of hindered rotation, which didn't allow him to get barreled to velocity, which is a big deal in 2025, right? Now his swing's leveler. Like, when it's got a level swing like that and he's getting off his backside and his front foot's getting down on time, he can use the entire field. He can start to backspin baseballs. You know, it's kind of fun to watch that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'll give him credit. I mean, he's made adjustments. It's playing out. I think the biggest part out of all of that is he's looking fastball. He's getting to fastball counts. 0-0, 3-2. I get to 1-2. I fight to 3-2, 3-2 when you're down, because that's what the scoreboard's telling you. I'm getting a heater. I'm looking for it because I'm level. I'm on time. I can bridge some people. So it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, 9-5, the Blue Jays losing to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They will start a three-game series against the Chicago White Sox tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. We are going to take a break, come back, go back to the, well, we call it the back leg line. You can leave us a voice note, 416-413-3959. 590-590 is the text line. We'll go to your calls and your texts. We'll also hear from Kevin Gausman, today's starting pitcher as well. And we'll take a look around the American League East. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. All right, welcome back to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on the TV side on Sportsnet. It is Jeff Blair. You've got me for another half hour, so Kevin had to run out. He's chairing a meeting of the Alejandro Kirk fan club, and they're gathering. So there you go. Kevin had to go out. He is the president of the Alejandro Kirk fan club, as we all know. So they're having a just a little celebratory thing today, as indeed they should. Even though the Jays lost 9-5, Alejandro Kirk had himself a pretty good game with a couple of home runs and a single. Time now to take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard with Bet365. You can watch thousands of live games. You can build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game's still being played. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. There will be a ton of drama in San Francisco tomorrow night as the Boston Red Sox go to San Francisco to take on Rafael Devers, the happy Rafael Devers, who will play anywhere the Giants want him to play. The Red Sox have today off. They will be in San Francisco tomorrow. And that game will, that'll probably be the highlight game of the schedule, to be honest, because we all know the controversy surrounding Rafael Devers and his departure from the Boston Red Sox. And gosh knows that baseball does love some controversy involving the Red Sox. The Jays, obviously, their game's in the books today. They lost 9-5 to Arizona. The New York Yankees beating the Los Angeles Angels 7-3. Baltimore is back in Tampa Bay tonight after that unbelievable collapse last night, a blowing 8-0 lead, the Rays rallying to win the game. So the AL East standings are thus, the Yankees are 43-31. Tampa Bay is 41-33. The Jays are 40-34. They are three back of the Yankees. Boston's 39-37. They are five back. The Orioles, 31-42, 11.5 back. Both the Rays and the Blue Jays hold down wild card spots right now. The Rays with a three-game lead in the wild card, and the Jays with a two-game lead. And as we mentioned, the Jays will open a three-game series against the Chicago White Sox tomorrow. tough outing for Kevin Gausman. It's been a tough month for Kevin Gausman. 7.65 ERA in his last four starts, 12 walks in his last four starts. Let's listen to Kevin Gossman's explanation.
Kev, looked like you, some of your misses today were mostly arm side. Was there kind of something going on there that was leading to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not a very good sharp day for me. You know, felt like my land leg, you know, just kind of buckling out a lot. You know, a lot of pitches when I needed to make it, kind of specifically doing that. So trying to make an adjustment, but... You know, to be honest, I feel like everybody kind of did their job this series, and I just didn't. You know, we're playing really good right now, and, you know, going for a sweep today, and I go out there and do that. So, you know, pretty frustrated.
Looked like you kind of tried everything against Suarez just in terms of your pitch mix. Do you just, is that just a good hitter being a good hitter, or do you think you could have done something different against him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at my numbers against him, they're pretty good, you know, but... I think he had a plan going in, obviously, and, you know, I think I kind of fed right into his plan just about every at-bat. And so, yeah, I mean, smart hitter, you know. Two of them good pitches, one of them not. And so, you know, got to give credit.
Schneider was saying, not to give you an excuse, but he was saying conditions were a little odd with the way the ball was playing in the wind. Did that affect any of your stuff at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was windy, but... You know, I've pitched plenty of games windy, and, you know, I need to be able to kind of make that adjustment. And, yeah, I mean, my split was moving a lot today, but, you know, I just kind of couldn't make that adjustment to figure out, you know, how to throw it for a strike and then how to throw it for a ball. And, you know, that's kind of the story of my season right now. And, you know, June's been really ugly for me. And so, you know, I need to kind of take a deep look and try to figure some things out and get better. You know, I feel like if I can kind of get back to who I am, you know, I think that's the next step for this team. And, you know, I hope to be a big part of it. And so, you know, right now I feel like I'm not kind of doing my end.
What's changed, this month compared to May when you were sort of dominating in the middle of the month there?
I'd say the biggest thing is strike percentage. You know, I think I had one walk and a forced start span in May. And so... you know, yeah, obviously that hasn't been the issue lately.
That is Kevin Gausman of the Blue Jays talking about his start this afternoon. 4 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 7 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. We mentioned 12 walks in his last 4 starts. It has not been a good month of June for Kevin Gausman, to say the least. A lot of us thought maybe that game against Minnesota when he kind of, I said at the time, slayed the dragon, because the Minnesota Twins generally own him. I think a lot of us maybe thought that perhaps he'd figured something out or had gotten over something. But, I mean, the thing, and you know, Kevin and I have talked about this a lot in Blue Jays Talk, and we'll frankly probably address it with John Schneider tomorrow on Blair and Barker when the Jays skipper joins us. The thing with Kevin Gausman is generally – when there's an issue, it's something mechanical. And generally, the Jays are able to figure out something that gives it a quick fix. And then because, you know, as Kevin points out, he's pitched a lot of innings in his career. And there are no secrets with Kevin Gausman. He's basically a two-pitch guy right now. He's pitched a lot of innings. I mean, this is the way it's going to look for the rest of this year and next year, the final year of that contract. It is going to be a constant battle to make adjustments, to make tweaks, to, you know, you're not going to develop a new pitch if you're Kevin Gausman. We've already heard this year that he's been tinkering with the grip of his splitter. That's kind of what the rest of Kevin Gossman's career is going to be. And I'm sure if you talk to Kevin Gausman about that, I'm sure he'd tell you that he understands that. So, you know, let's pump the brakes a little bit right now on any sort of, you know, any sort of panic when it comes to Kevin Gausman. I trust the pitcher. I trust Pete Walker. I trust in his ability to make the necessary changes. And again, it may be that those changes only work for one start or for two starts, and maybe he has to make more changes. You know, we saw Chris Bassett move to the other side of the rubber. I mean, again, these are all guys who have been around. There's a ton, and I mean a ton, of videotape about Kevin Gausman, about Chris Bassett. You can only do so much when you have shown your hand so often. So I think we need to, just to give Kevin Gausman a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. But, you know, I think what we've seen so far this year are some timely reminders that the Blue Jays, they probably need to make a couple of additions to their starting rotation if they're serious about going on a deep postseason run. Maybe Max Scherzer is one of those additions when he comes back. And again, he'll throw a bullpen on Saturday. Unless something untoward happens, it seems as if he's on track to start a game next week against the Cleveland Guardians. You know, Eric Lauer has shown you enough that you wouldn't mind having him as the fifth starter. You know, Alek Manoah might be available at some point in the end of August, and maybe Bowden Francis comes off the IL and figures something out. Maybe this is a chance for a reset with Bowden Francis. But having said all that, if you are the Blue Jays, I think you absolutely have to be cognizant of the fact that you need to go into the trade deadline and add an impactful starting pitcher and do whatever it takes to add that impactful starting pitcher. That's not to take anything away from Berríos or Bassett or Gausman, but I think you have to ask yourself, are you confident enough in those three to get you through a playoff series? And I think you have to be honest with yourself when you ask that question. I think any of those three are capable of giving you a chance to win. They're also any of those three capable of going 4 1/3 and giving up 5 earned runs. I mean, that's where we are with them. I think you'd like to find a little more certainty with the starting rotation. But again, that's what, that's what trade deadlines are for. Brian and Ingersoll had a question.
Gausman, I'm wondering, does he need a day off in his rotation? So I know that'd be tough to afford to do that right now. And secondly, does any of the turnaround in bad timing date back to when he went 53 pitches in that one inning? Be interesting to look back. I don't know how to find out what date that was, but was that anything to do with where we're seeing him, the change he's had?
Thanks for the call, Brian. And again, the number is 416-413-3959. Certainly that 53 pitch inning at Yankee Stadium got a lot of people's attention. I don't get the sense that there was any lingering hangover from that. His next start was pretty good. You know, again, June hasn't been great for him, but I don't think you can look back at that 43 pitch inning as, you know, spectacularly disastrous as it was. I don't think you can necessarily look back at that inning and see, you know, and trace things. I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't done that, but I would be surprised. It seems to me there have been a couple of relatively decent starts before that. And in terms of days off, he is getting days off. I mean, they've baked in, they've got a day off on Monday. They're pushing guys back. Kevin Gausman's workload in season isn't the issue. It's the totality of his career workload that I think concerns people more than anything else. Again, a lot of innings, a lot of pitches. Last year, a lot of innings, a lot of pitches in high leverage because the Jays weren't scoring a lot of runs. It has not been an easy 2 or 3 years for Kevin Gausman or Chris Bassett with this organization. Alek Manoah goes down. The Jays are forced to really rely on those three veterans, you know, break up their routines, change their routines, move them around in the rotation. You know, those three guys, Berríos, Bassett, and Gausman, did that without complaining about it. Last year, the bullpen was awful. It was a tire fire for much of the year, especially through that part of the season where Jimmy Garcia wasn't with the team. And that had a trickle-down effect on how John Schneider managed the starting rotation. So these three guys have had a ton of stuff go on over the past 2 years. And I think that's the concern more than the you know, the particular workload, the particular workload this year. And we know enough about the Blue Jays and their sports science people that they keep a pretty close account of workload. And look, those Berríos, Bassett, and Gausman, knock on wood, I mean, they make their starts. They all stay healthy. By and large, there's not a tremendous difference in velocity. So you would have to say that Pete Walker and John Schneider and the Jays training staff and the sports science people, they are doing a good job of ensuring that they are able to compete at a high level. Again, with Chris Gausman, I just think it's, or with Kevin Gausman, I just think it's a mechanical issue, and it's one of a number of issues you're just going to have to deal with the rest of his career. He is going to have to be making a bunch of tweaks as he goes along, and I'm sure he knows that. I know Pete Walker knows it, and I know John Schneider knows it. Trent in PEI.
I personally would like to see Ernie Clement leading off, have Bo bat in second, then you could have a hit and run, and then you could have two on for Vladdy, and then you have Barter still batting fourth. I just think they would do better if they had someone in front of Bo, even though they're doing good, to have that person, even Class A, maybe, so he could steal. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, Ernie's probably the last guy you want at the top of the order. Ernie does like to swing at a first-pitch fastball. Part of the issue with having Bo in front of Vladdy, and Barker's talked about this a lot, part of the issue is that Bo chases as well. Bo's not always a patient hitter. So quite often, Vladdy's up at the plate with one out, and you know, and two pitches have been thrown, or three pitches have been thrown. The nice thing about having Vladdy in the third spot is it does give him a, and I know it's just one at bat in the game, right? Once the game starts, it changes. But the nice thing about having Vladdy in the third spot is it does give him an opportunity for that first at bat to set himself after he's come in from the field or at the start of the game to see a few pitches. And the bottom line is, he's your $500 million player who has said he prefers hitting third. And just the old school baseball numbers suggest he's a better hitter in the third spot. So don't overthink it. Do not overthink it. Leave Vladdy in the third spot. You don't want Bo in front of him. I like the lineup the way it is right now. Jonathan Class A, Ernie Clement, you have to ask yourself this. Do you, if you could choose Blue Jays hitters, a Blue Jays hitter to get an extra at bat in a game, would you choose Jonathan Class A and Ernie Clement? Because that's what happens when you're in the number one or number two spot, the leadoff spot or the second spot in the order. You're generally going to get an extra at bat in a game, or quite often you get an extra at bat in the game. Quite often that spot comes around late in the game. So as much as they have been, you know, really good contributors, and you know, certainly Ernie has, you know, less so Jonathan Class A, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on him as well. You know, I think that would be, I think if you ran that lineup out, you'd have a real issue in the clubhouse. You'd have a lot of people going to the manager and saying, like, dude, what in, you know what, are you thinking? So I understand everybody wants to get a little creative, and that's fine. But my goodness, I don't know why you want to go away from this lineup right now. The way, not just the performance you've seen from this lineup in the past three games, but the fact that you have your best hitter hitting in the spot where he's happiest and most productive. You've got a guy in the leadoff spot who likes leading off and is contributing. Like, there's really nothing wrong with this lineup right now. And it does get interesting when Dalton Varsho and Anthony Santander get back. But right now, if you ask me, who do I want having extra at bats in a game? Right now, I want Bichette, Barger, and Guerrero having those extra at bats. Maybe you could put Kirk in there, but then you get into issues with Alejandro Kirk getting on base. I mean, it is a tailor-made. If Alejandro Kirk's on first base, you're looking at a double play unless somebody ropes one. You're looking at a double play, and that's something, you know, that's something to keep in mind. I just want to go back and take a look at a question that the caller had about Kevin Gausman and his performance since that 53 pitch inning at Yankee Stadium. And I'm just looking at it right now. So that was April 27th. And the next start, 6 innings, 1 hit. Didn't bother him there. 5 1/3 innings, 7 hits. Against Tampa, 5 2/3, 10 hits. Then 3 hits against San Diego, 5 against Texas, 8 against the Athletics. That was not a great start in 4 2/3 innings. But I don't really see anything, anything that would really jump out at me after that. I'm looking at the walks that he had since that start. Boy, he only walked one batter in the month of May. And he's walked, as we said, he's walked 12 right now. So in June. So that's, that kind of, I would think suggests that perhaps there's, there really isn't any concern about that 53 pitch inning. Although at the time, let's face it, it did get a lot of people's attention. Let's go to the text line. Kyle from Hamilton. Kirk's leading the team for batting average on the season, but even better if you look just at the last 2 weeks. Could it make sense to take a shot at batting him in the leadoff spot? We talked about that. No. He's a very good hitter right now. He's hitting cleanup. He's become a run producer for this team. They're still without Anthony Santon, Darren Dalton, Varsho. I like Kirk in the cleanup spot. I also, again, and I hate to say this, I'm not criticizing Kirk, but the fact of the matter is he's not one of the fastest players in the team. If an Alejandro Kirk draws a leadoff walk, you're setting yourself up for a double play. It clogs the base paths. You don't want that. You want Alejandro Kirk hitting down in the order, being able to drive balls into the outfield and produce runs. Doug in Calgary.
I'm wanting to know how you feel about some of the trades that have gone on that have come back to hurt the Blue Jays, specifically the pitcher that we DFA'd last night that was traded for Teoscar Hernandez, who's only gone on to continue to hit between 25 and 30 home runs and close to 100 RBIs for every team he's ever been with. And notice the impact in Vladdy's bat in terms of home runs the minute Teoscar left. And then last year at the All-Star game is when he turned on because he spent some time around Teoscar. Well, if you want your $500 million guy to perform like he should, maybe you should quit sending away all his buddies that are quite talented.
I mean, Doug, here's the thing. At the time, the Blue Jays were coming off that playoff loss to the Seattle Mariners, where they were basically done in by, or I should say where the lingering memory of that playoff series is that collision between Bichette and Springer in the outfield. And the thought process was that the Blue Jays needed to improve themselves defensively. Teoscar Hernandez was going to be going into his free agent year. There was no traction in terms of a contract extension for Teoscar. I don't know whether that's a result of a lack of interest on the part of the Blue Jays, a lack of interest, or I should say a demand from Teoscar they weren't willing to meet. I looked back at the trade at the time, and one, I wasn't surprised because we'd heard that the Blue Jays wanted to improve their defensive outfield. And two, we knew that they were looking to add some pitching depth to the organization, preferably somebody in the bullpen and Adam Mako, a reliever that they liked as well, or I should say a minor league pitcher they liked as well, going to become a starter. And at the time, I had no problem with the deal. And a lot of people in Toronto had no problem with the deal because there was an understanding, I think, that the Jays weren't going to sign him and they needed to be a better defensive team. What happened is the Blue Jays also traded Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno. And that, to me, is the deal that I had a bigger issue with. Now, when that deal was made, I thought Dalton Varsho, good defensive outfielder. You know, we knew right away that the Jays liked his makeup, all of that stuff. The Jays had a crying need for a left-handed bat. They didn't have any left-handed bats in the organization. They were very right-hand heavy. That deal made a certain amount of sense as well at the time it was made. But in hindsight, and I think Kevin and I were pretty critical of it early in the season, you started to realize that what the Blue Jays did essentially was trade away three everyday players, because we didn't really know what Alejandro Kirk was going to be yet, but that they'd essentially traded away three everyday players in Moreno, Gurriel, and Teoscar, two of whom could hit in the middle of the order, and they didn't get anything in return that addressed whatever offensive fall off there would be. So that's how I view those. In hindsight, if the Jays had traded Teoscar and not made the Gurriel trade, you know, things don't always happen the way you think they're going to happen. But let's just assume that they didn't make the Gurriel-Moreno trade. They didn't have Varsho, but then they had Kirk, Jansen, and Moreno. You've got some catching depth. Maybe you trade Jansen instead. See what I'm getting at? And you still have Lourdes Gurriel Jr. So, long answer to your question. At the time, not surprised the deal was made. At the time, I admit, I didn't think it would have the impact that it had. A lot of us, I think, really misunderstood the importance of Teoscar Hernandez, not to the clubhouse thing and the clubhouse dynamic and all that. I mean, that's really overblown. That's, you know, baseball is a team sport made up of economically motivated individuals. I know it doesn't sound romantic, but that's the way it is. But that aside, yes, not having Teoscar's bat in the lineup, obviously it's something the Jays have been searching for since, you know, the Brandon Belt, Justin Turner. I mean, all the things they tried that were colossal failures, you know, and Anthony Santander. I mean, that's, again, that search for a middle of the order bat to go along with Vladdy, that has gone on since the Teoscar Hernandez deal. There's no doubt about that. Robin Colonna.
Looking at what's going on, I've been a Blue Jay watcher for a long time. They're in the mix, I think. American League East can be had. You have a team like Atlanta that's really struggling. I mean, they may pick it up a bit, they may not, but, you know, Sale may be available. Left-hand ace, without question. So if the Blue Jays are really serious about winning the American League East, because they have to go through Tampa in a wild card game, I think we all know what will happen there. So who knows what it'll be like a month or so from now, but he's the guy I think they need to target if they're really serious about trying to win the American League East. Guys are doing a great job. Take care.
Thanks, Rob. Listen, I would love to see Chris Sale in a Blue Jays uniform. I've got to think the Jays will probably make contact with Atlanta. I don't know if there's a whole thing with Alex trade with the organization he left. But you know what? Well, actually, surprisingly enough, Alex Anthopoulos was asked that very question the other day on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And you know what? We have Alex's answer. Let's hear what Alex said about trading Chris Sale.
Do you think teams think or smell you as a seller? As in, here's the phone call. I'll say Chris Sale. Could be the greatest chip in all of baseball.
Zero. So I've seen the speculation, and that's why it's completely ridiculous to me. So we are not selling, especially someone that has club control beyond the current year. Will not happen. And I never make definitive statements unless I'm going to stick to them. Once you make definitive statements and then you go back on them, you're a liar and you're done. So will not happen. Bold, right. Italicize it, caps. And so much so that I'm trying to make a trade now, very hard right now to make a trade in June, just to signal to everybody that, hey, we will not sell.
Well, I would say that pretty much puts the kibosh on Alex Anthopoulos trading Chris Sale or anybody. I would be surprised if the Braves punted at any point. First of all, there's no financial reason to punt. The Braves, you know, they've got enough money. Alex isn't under any pressure from ownership to cut salary. Secondly, they've got a core of players locked up already. They're not, if they were an old, decrepit, aging, crumbling team, then maybe you could see it, but they're not. They've got a young core that's signed and is going to be together for the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, what the Braves have to do, quite frankly, they have to figure out a way to keep their young pitchers healthy. That's the only thing really standing in their way from getting back to the World Series. So that's Alex Anthopoulos' answer. Yes, in a perfect world, boy, Chris Sale in a Blue Jays uniform, sign me up for it. Absolutely. And I do think the Jays will have to add another starting pitcher going into the postseason. But, it's not going to be Chris Sale. And I know Alex well enough to know that when he says something like that, when he is that open, and it's one thing when somebody says something to you off the record, and another thing when a person goes public and says, we're not going to do it. Yeah, I just don't think there's any, I don't think there's any point in speculating about Chris Sale going anywhere. Does that mean people won't speculate? No. Hey, Wayne Gretzky was traded, right? I mean, at any point, somebody can come along and lose their mind and make you an offer. But I think what Alex is saying there is, he knows what is going to be offered. He knows what is quote unquote on the market, and it's not enough to get Chris Sale. And the fact that he's looking to add would suggest to me that, anybody looking to pillage the Atlanta Braves, at least right now, is probably barking up the wrong tree. Let's go to Jen in Toronto. She left us a text. Thoughts in the Springer slump this month? That play was deflating. I've done the numbers. I believe George is 9 for 50 in his last 14 days. In the list of issues the Blue Jays have had this year, slumping George Springer over 2 weeks really isn't one of them. I still look at George Springer as being, you could say other than Alejandro Kirk, arguably the most consistent hitter the Blue Jays have had since opening day. He's not hurting them. He's, offensively. Yeah, the double play today, after that three-run inning kind of takes the air out of the balloon a little bit. But no, I'm not on the list of issues for the Blue Jays right now. To me, it's pitching, and George Springer isn't even at the front of mind. 9-5, the Blue Jays have lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks today. They will play a three-game series against the White Sox this weekend starting tomorrow. A reminder, Blair and Barker will be along tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. So thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bancroft and Halliburton. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. To protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.